How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Hello, welcome back to Directly Current. I'm Max Patton, and you joined me for our potential last episode of the year. Happy holidays if you celebrate. We may have another bonus one, but our guest this week had to reschedule, so we may or may not drop one more before New Year's. With that all being said, today I want to talk about a very important topic, EV fuel credits, shopping for an EV right now in the holidays, and making that make sense for you. You've probably seen the headlines that the incoming Trump administration is likely to axe the federal tax credit for electric vehicle purchases. This is a big deal on the consumer end of things. Now, what I want to do in this episode is clear up some of that misinformation, what can happen, what can't happen, the timeline of when, and whether or not basically you should go out and run to your local dealer, buy an electric car right now before end of year if you can. Spoiler alert, it's not as urgent as news media might make it seem. Let's first explain IRA, what I've been referring to as the Inflation Reduction Act, what it is and what it isn't, so that not only can you know, but hey, at the Christmas or New Year's Eve, whatever holiday you celebrate, dinner table, you can maybe discuss with family, clear up this misinformation. I know it's come up with all the time among my friends and family. The Inflation Reduction Act, as it applies to clean vehicles, specifically electric cars, is basically designed to not just stimulate, okay, cleaner vehicles that pollute less, but also vehicles that are domestically made. So with an electric vehicle, you have to both assemble the vehicle and you also need the battery of the vehicle to be domestically sourced in some way. So what the government does is it splits up two things, the battery components in their assembly, and then the critical battery minerals to make that battery. Now, what you need to know as a consumer is that basically only certain vehicles qualify for getting that tax credit, which is the full amount of $7,500 cash off the hood of a vehicle if you qualify. So several things have to be in place for this tax credit to apply to you, average Joe, buying a car this December, or maybe, who knows, even early January. You need to have a certain household income under a threshold. It is $150,000 if you're a single filer, $300,000 if you're married and joint filings. I think many people will qualify. Keep in mind, the old tax credit didn't have an income cap. So if you heard those news stories a few years ago of people buying Porsche Taycans with a clean vehicle credit, that is no longer because of Joe Manchin and a few other moderate Democrats and some Republicans who negotiated the current Inflation Reduction Act as it applies. So yeah, you need to basically be under that income threshold. There's only a limit to how often you can use it each year. So basically check with your accountant, see if you qualify. And then when it comes to that whole cash off the hood program, your dealer, if you're buying the vehicle from a dealer, has to participate in that program. Not every dealer does. Then I've teased this as well, the vehicle has to qualify. So there's a lot of great electric vehicles in the market, particularly when it comes to crossovers, right? If you want an all-wheel drive, small to mid-size SUV, you're in luck. There's a lot of great electric vehicles on the market for that. The three-row SUVs, the larger ones, the smaller sedans and hatchbacks, unfortunately, that market is not as competitive. Automakers in the US in particular have decided that it's not as profitable or lucrative for them to go after that. But just some strong options off the top of my head to consider that do qualify for the EV tax credit are the Tesla Model Y. And if you don't want to buy Tesla, I understand. There's plenty of options from General Motors between the Equinox EV, a little more expensive, the Blazer EV, even the Cadillac Lyriq. Honda has their own EV now called the Prologue, which is actually not their own EV. It's a rebadged GM vehicle, but it has a Honda badge on it and it has Apple CarPlay, which the GM vehicles don't. So if you like plugging your phone into your car and using that for maps and whatnot, the Honda Prologue has that. Rivian's vehicles do qualify, but keep in mind, there's also a price cap on the vehicle. So if you get an R1T or an R1S Rivian pickup truck or SUV, you need to make sure that the price of that vehicle is $80,000 or less. And the Rivians, those are expensive vehicles. So you're not going to be able to option them out too heavily. You'll be looking at the standard or the standard plus range batteries in most situations. And then there's the Volkswagen ID.4. That's what my boss here, lovely Mike Murphy, drives. The Volkswagen ID.4, despite being a German-made company, is actually also domestically built in the U.S. at a plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Now, I wish there were more vehicles on this list. That's all that there is for what qualifies as a new vehicle. However, we're expecting in 2025 more to come online, specifically Hyundai and Kia vehicles that will be built at their West Point, Georgia facility. So think the new 2025 model year of the Hyundai Ioniq 5 and Kia EV6. As of me recording those podcasts, those haven't hit dealer lots. Now, I said 2025, right? That might be a trigger word to some of you who are worried about the Trump administration and proposed axing of this credit under the Inflation Reduction Act. The $7,500 tax credit, by the way, for you policy wonks, is the 30D component of the IRA. So this is a lot of legislation that they have to really unpack, because the Inflation Reduction Act isn't just the consumer vehicle tax credit. It's also incentives for manufacturers to domestically produce batteries and for battery production as an industry to be able to exist in the U.S. Lots of really important domestic manufacturing policy that we here at EV Politics are in accord with. And that stuff's going to be very hard to unwind. We're talking about tens of billions of dollars in total and aggregate investment being distributed. That's a huge figure. The consumer vehicle credit, honestly, in my opinion, is a little bit overrepresented in the media. I've just mentioned, right, these vehicles, you can get $7,500 off if you qualify and the vehicle qualifies. Keep in mind, if you live in a state like California or Colorado that has some of their own incentives, those can be more powerful. They can apply to more vehicles. Sometimes they have actual broader limits, so they might be more applicable to you. And those can also apply point of sale in many cases. The other math to think here, if you're buying a new vehicle, is, well, there's a few different ways to buy it, of course, right? You can lease it, you can buy it outright in cash, you can finance it. So right now, I'm not an economist, but just the current car market, the current environment for interest rates is still pretty high. I think we're looking at an average, depends on your credit, of course, and what you apply for. But unless you have some sweetheart deal with your bank, if you're just trying to finance the dealer, many of them are quoting like 8 to 10%, sometimes even higher, depending on your credit, APR, which that can be a lot if you're going to finance a vehicle over 60 or 72 months, which I understand many car buyers do. I do at the moment. I have lower interest because I bought earlier. But right now, if you're financing, unless you can get some sweet incentive from your dealer where they offer low APR financing, some dealers are doing that right now to get some EVs off their lot. Unless you can do that, I wouldn't recommend financing. However, leasing can be very powerful if it works for you. Now, keep in mind, leasing a car is not like renting a car, right? Or it is like renting a car. You're not building equity in ownership. So financially, many people are against leasing in general. However, if you're a business owner, if there's some other creative tax deductions you can do, leasing can make sense. And it can also make sense if you don't drive that much and you just need an appliance vehicle to get you back and forth. The good news of leasing is that this list I've mentioned earlier of the EVs that qualify for the new vehicle tax credit, that doesn't apply to leasing. Leasing is more kind of carte blanche because it's actually under the commercial tax credit component of the Inflation Reduction Act, which means that essentially everything qualifies as long as the manufacturer chooses to allocate the credit that way. Basically, when you lease an Hyundai Ioniq 5 2024 model year, not built in the US from Hyundai Motor Group, they're the ones who own the car as a fleet and they have looser commercial standards. So they're still getting the tax credit. And what many of them are doing, including Hyundai, and I think other makers do this as well, who would not otherwise qualify, Polestar, Lucid, what they'll do is they'll pass it on to you in the form of basically a down payment on the lease. So that can substantially lower your monthly payment, especially if you're going to stack that with your own state incentive. So there's nothing against combining incentives to work better together. And again, on this 2025 point, I know there's a lot of anxiety, but just keep in mind, even if Trump specifically targets 30D and even the commercial EV tax credit, you're still going to see an increasingly competitive EV market. The price pressure, all the factors, unfortunately for manufacturers, are looking quite grim at the moment. But as a consumer, it's a great time to be shopping because more and more options are coming onto the market. And substantially speaking, prices aren't actually going to change that much, especially when we talk about stuff like the used market, because most of those incentives are already built in as depreciation the minute you buy that vehicle. So There's a huge supply of used EVs out there and EVs coming off those sweetheart lease deals I mentioned that will be quite affordable within the next year and even beyond. So while it is really nice having the federal EV tax credit, I think it's a great, personally, a great way to incentivize EV adoption. It's not strictly necessary. And like I said, it's very unlikely that Trump, the administration, is going to be able to very quickly go after the much more complicated web of legislation and incentives towards manufacturing and policy, which is what we need to get more competitive EVs in the long-term future built in the US of A. So that's my whole spiel on that. One more note. So I mentioned dealers, right? If you're looking at specifically a Tesla vehicle, a Rivian, or a Lucid, or a Polestar, all great cars, I drive one of those, you have to actually buy those direct to consumer. You can buy a used one from a lot anywhere else, but if you're buying a new one, you're buying from the manufacturer website, which comes with some advantages and disadvantages. The advantages are just price transparency. You just have to go on their website and you can see what an inventory car will cost, what it will cost to order a vehicle. And they'll make it very clear too. All of them do a pretty good job of making it clear when the tax credit is involved. So for instance, like a Polestar 2, right now that's actually subject to a tariff. So there's no tax credit on that because Polestar actually is paying a hefty tariff to import those in from China where they're made. But if you lease it, you do get a tax credit. So there's that loophole at work. But yeah, transparent prices are the benefit. The big downside is just less wiggle room. Theoretically, you can't get those amazing local deals you could get at some dealers who are willing to play ball with you if you're good at negotiating a price down. However, there is de facto wiggle room still, because if you're buying a new vehicle in a Tesla showroom, for instance, let's say, or you're ordering it from Rivian, you might be trading in your old car. And when it comes to the trade-in appraisal of your old car, there's always going to be some wiggle room. Sometimes they might be firm on the price, but oftentimes they might be able to make something work. And just because Tesla, Rivian, Lucid, Polestar are direct-to-consumer doesn't mean they're not in the business of changing prices all the time and offering specials and promotions. So look on their websites to see when they're offering, for instance, sometimes like free paint protection film or 0% interest or something like that on their vehicles, because this is the season of deals in some ways for car buying. But like I said, everything will depreciate and there are more and more competitive EVs on the market. So don't necessarily feel a ton of pressure to buy a new EV or buy or especially finance a new EV right at this moment. Now, I want to touch on used vehicles, because used vehicles have their own tax credit that applies federally. And this is a really cool program. However, it's in some ways broader and in some ways more limited. So it's broader in the sense that, like the lease commercial credit, when you lease a vehicle, when a manufacturer has it in their fleet nominally, more vehicles qualify. There's no domestic sourcing requirement for the battery minerals and components. You can actually still look on the fueleconomy.gov website, but substantially most used EV vehicles in the market will qualify. And I'll link the fueleconomy.gov website in these show notes so you can see for yourself. There's a lot of options, but it is narrower in the sense that the income cap is a lot lower. I think you have to be making, if I'm correct, from memory, half of 150K, so 75K or less income. So you have to be a little bit of a lower income earner. Of course, it depends on where you live, cost of living, of course. But basically, it's stricter in that sense. It's also stricter on the vehicle side of things, because the price of the vehicle does still have to be under $25,000, as opposed to $80,000 for new SUVs and $55,000 for new sedans. So $25,000 is your cap. If your vehicle price is beyond that, it won't get the used credit. As you can see on this website, if you're watching the video version, I'm scrolling through, there's lots of options you can actually still find under 25K. We're talking like used, rental, high mileage Tesla Model 3s, Chevy Bolt EVs, some older ones like that, some used Ioniq 5s, also maybe higher mileage. Keep in mind, it does have to be under 25,000. So they list some vehicles here that like Polestar 2, where yeah, you can find them under 25K, but not all of them are. And then Porsche Taycan, that qualifies, but if you're buying a Porsche Taycan for under $25,000, it probably has a salvage title or has seen something that you may not want to pick up. So, of course, all the normal thing considerations coming to buying a used car, make sure that it's got a clean title, that it's hopefully not full of maintenance issues. The good news is electric cars generally have less maintenance, but there's still, of course, tire wear, other parts to keep in track of, an interior that maybe has been abused if it's been used as a taxi or as an Uber vehicle. So keep that in mind. But if you're more budget conscious and if you're qualified with that lower, stricter income cap, the used EV tax credit is great. It's a $4,000 or 30% of the vehicle purchase price, whichever is lesser, I believe. But if you're within that $20,000 zone, it's going to effectively be a $4,000 credit. And if your dealer participates, then you'll also get this as a cash off the hood deal. So you don't have to wait till tax time to get this refunded. You can actually just get this effectively as a discount on the vehicle price. But just make sure with your dealer that they're able to do the paperwork for that and they're enrolled in the IRS. The IRS's program for doing this and for those reimbursements, because not every dealer participates. As everything with government, you can imagine there's some red tape and bureaucracy here. Not every dealer wants to jump through those hoops. All right, that's a lot of stuff, a lot of nerd spiel for me, but hopefully that helps. If you're considering buying an EV for the holidays, I know I've mentioned some models that might apply that might be good to look at, but there's plenty of other vehicles I haven't even mentioned that you might also want to consider. But just, I'll make this point again, next year with Hyundai and Kia building vehicles in the US, more exciting EVs, even at the luxury end of the market, like the Lucid Gravity coming into market. Between all of this, there's just going to be more competitive downward price pressure. So if you're not in the financial or logistical situation at this moment to get a good deal on a new or used EV, don't despair, because the market is in your favor by waiting. We're not going to judge you if you keep driving your gas car or your old first-generation electric car. If you really care about the environment, the best thing is to keep driving what you're driving until the wheels fall off. But if you're a consumer, and many of us are, then these deals are something to keep in mind. So basically, the sky is not falling with the EV tax credit as it exists under the IRA. It might change, but if you've heard any headlines that when the clock strikes midnight on January 1st, 2025, it's going away, that's not true. The tax credit still lives on until we affirmatively hear news that it actually is being axed, at which point, of course, we'll report that to you on Directly Current. We will be back in the new year with many exciting episodes and guests in charging industry, in elected office, and beyond. It's been a real privilege to do this podcast for you, to have all of you as listeners in our audience, to speak to some of the amazing guests we've spoken to. There's just only going to continue to be more great guests we'll have on next year, maybe even some repeats. So look out in the new year for that. And thank you for listening to Directly Current this whole time, if you've been a longtime listener or just picking it up now. And feel free to share this episode with friends or family who might benefit from a little bit of my nerd spiel on EV market pricing and deal hunting in this holiday season. Anyhow, that flashy consumerism aside, I hope you have a wonderful holidays, however you celebrate. And once more, see you in the new year.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.